Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
To Ukraine we go for another live report from the editor of Ukrainian Freedom News, Joseph Lindsley. Hello to you, Joseph. I got to tell you that last night I was out and a young guy recognized me. He comes up to me and he says, Joseph Lindsley's reports are an inspiration. He is the best. Please tell him. So, message delivered.
Great. Well, thank you for delivering that message. It's good to hear that and good inspiration to keep going. Here, I'm still speaking to you from the city of Dnipro. It's been calm since the strikes on Monday, but there is a new sense that, you know, obviously that everyone is reminded that everyone is under threat here. But so far today is calm here, but it is not calm in the east, in the city of Lysychansk, which the Russians are really steadily working to encircle that city. Today, they have about 6 miles as of now, as of the latest intelligence, to complete the circle to surround that city totally. About 5 days ago, it was 12 miles. So they're making about a mile a day of progress from the north and from the south.
You know what struck me, Joseph, reading about what's going on in that eastern city of Lysychansk? I saw an item, and it was reported that people there dream of at least a half an hour of silence. And I was also thinking about that in the context of your report yesterday. You were so close to missile attacks, talking about Russian planes flying very low over your head. Unless you're there, I don't think you can even fathom how it feels.
Yeah, and even here, it's hard to fathom what it's like there. A few weeks ago, I was in the city of Bakhmut, which is about an hour's drive to the west of Lysychansk, and there was pretty constant shelling on the perimeter of the city. Some of it was Ukrainians firing back, and there's an old lady carrying on with telling us lots of stories and conversations. So people do find a way to keep going, but it's much more serious in Lysychansk because they haven't, in several days, they have not been able to receive resupply of food or humanitarian goods. And I saw that quote too about the, you know, just 30 minutes of silence. And I was thinking, when on Sunday morning here in Dnipro, I think this is a common phenomenon here for everyone in Ukraine, but I had a dream of from when I was speaking to you, when I spoke to you all, when I was in the city of Gulyapole, in the south, in Zaporizhia. And that was when we stopped at a checkpoint and the Russians fired artillery fire directly at us, pretty close, like, you know, 50 yards. And in my dream, I saw that, you know, the smoke and the explosion. But that was exactly while there were explosions happening in the city of Dnipro, which I guess I heard subconsciously, but I didn't know I was awake. And then very strangely, that setting was transplanted in my mind and my dream to my parents' house where I grew up in North Carolina. So it really does play with your psyche significantly.
Yeah, and it makes you think, hopefully this will end someday soon, and you get to come back home, and it's going to be almost like a returning soldier from war for you for a while. I mean, the reentry could be difficult, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. As we've discussed before, America has many challenges now too, and the thing here, the solidarity and how everyone is, and I really feel that as I drive around the country. I feel like Ukraine is sort of the Texas of Europe, or maybe kind of the Midwest of Europe. There's a lot of farmers, and there's, you know, patriotic slogans on the backs of their cars, and you realize that as everyone moves around, everyone is working in a common cause together. And so there is an amazing sense of solidarity, which it balances out the sort of the nightmare aspect of the situation.
Well, it's not just Ukrainian village where you have a lot of support. Fran from Libertyville called in, won the Ukrainian flag, and she'll be displaying that. And I know you'd like to hear that, Joseph.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we see these now popping up again all over Chicago, and as you said, this will. I mean, look, it looks like there are some improvements. I think when it comes to the other countries that are trying to help Ukraine. For example, as of 1 o'clock this morning, Ukraine began exporting energy to Romania, and that's going to open up more opportunities to export energy to Europe. So that's going to make Ukraine, you know, easier to sustain this. I think more European leaders after that G7 meeting are serious about helping Ukraine. But what we still see is, and the Russian strategy is just to pound these little towns. And I mean, there was a village outside of Kharkiv that I think it had 2 hours of sustained bombing, just in some small, simple village. And so there are going to be heavy casualties there. And this something big is going to need to change. Otherwise, this is just going to continue like this for a long time.
I'm not going to ask you about your travels today, Joseph, because I'm looking at a text I got that says, "Hey, dummy, quit asking our Ukrainian friend. Quit asking our Ukrainian friend what city he's going to. Next time you do, you might be considered a traitor." So I'll just say we'll talk again tomorrow.
Well, we'll talk tomorrow from wherever I will be. I look forward to it, bud.
All right, stay safe, my friend.
Thank you.